The Fan on Demand.
Time for Tim and Sid.
Oh, yes. It's time for Real Sports Talk with Tim McAuliffe and Sid Sexero.
Thank you very much, Sheepdog. Still to come on a very busy day here in Tim and Sid. Howard Beck of the New York Times, as the Knicks are pushed to the brink of elimination amidst a pile of steak and shake. Ivanka Osmak brings her class and dignity to the studio. And at 3 o'clock from your Toronto Blue Jays, Mark Burley will join us.
Time for Tim and Sid.
Busy show.
Time for Tim and Sid.
I got my pen back.
Time for Tim and Sid.
Where had it gone?
I don't know, but I felt naked. Like legit nude.
Well, I'm glad it wasn't.
Without a pen in my right hand.
I'm glad it wasn't literal. I'm not sure I can take that.
I'll tell you what, ratings?
Plummet. Actually,
through the roof.
I'm not sure how far they can plummet.
Where do we go from nothing?
We lost to the CFL draft.
This year.
But we're coming after you, CFL draft.
We're coming after you, Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Your number one overall pick.
All right, let's... We've been talking Rafi Torres. We've been talking Jared Stoll. We've been talking a hit.
Uh-huh.
And we'll get to a lot of things involved in the NHL with our next guest, but I think we stick on that for now. Jeremy Roenick back on Tim and Sid. JR, how you doing?
Hi, guys. What's up?
Not much. The city is still stunned, and we'll get to that in a second. But let's your take
stunned.
On...
Stunned should be an understatement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a day of therapy yesterday for
the
city of Toronto.
I don't think it worked.
No.
It didn't work. City's feeling the same thing.
More.
Yep.
No, I understand. I completely understand.
All right, let's Rafi Torres first. What that seemed okay to me. That seemed okay to my co-host. Did it seem okay to you?
Yeah, it was a good hit, actually. Jared Stoll had his head extremely down, leaning with his head, and going to make a hit. Rafi Torres didn't jump. He didn't lift his elbows. He made a solid contact. Jared Stoll was obviously put himself in a little bit of a difficult situation, but I have no problem with it.
So when he gets suspended, and it seems like he's going to now with the face-to-face hearing, you would say that's baloney?
No, it's getting malarkey? Ridiculous. It's getting ridiculous. It's getting ridiculous now. It really is. I think... Rafi Torres is, he got 25 games last year. I think he's kind of learned how to hit and how to hit a little bit more properly. Other people have to be in control of their own body and take consideration for where they're putting themselves. And Jared Stoll put himself in a little tough situation, leaning for a puck and putting himself his head way out ahead of his feet. And the head wasn't the principal point of contact. The principal point of contact was the shoulder that his head got hit afterwards. The league is starting to get a little bit ridiculous now with solid hits. And I thought the Greiber hit was good, and I thought the Torres hit was good. I mean, enough is enough.
If the hammer comes down incredibly enough on Torres for this, could the league then be accused of headhunting?
they're making their point on the same people, and you had Alex Ovechkin who charged Ryan McDonagh and slammed his head into the boards in game 7, and there was no penalty call and nobody looked at it because Ryan McDonagh got right up and continued to play. There comes a time when you got to stop putting your example on one group of players.
Right.
And right now, that seems to be the situation.
The Matt Cooks and Rafi Torreses of the world. Interesting.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Interesting. So we wanted to get your take on what happened in Boston a couple days ago. Your initial reaction to it?
Complete and utter shock. And just to give you an example, we in our NBC studios were talking about is Claude Julien going to get fired? Who are they trading first?
Yeah.
Whose head is going to roll for this debacle of a letdown? And all of a sudden, we're on the flip side. what's Toronto going to do to make up for this catastrophic loss. And, you know, it was amazing to me that even happened. 99.9% chance for them to win after Kadri scored that goal. The odds are monumental for what Toronto was capable of achieving in that game.
Jeremy, there's a lot of talk now, and locker cleanout at the ACC sounds like it could be tomorrow, so there'll be a lot more discussion tomorrow. But the feeling is, going forward, what is your core? And there's two sides to the coin now. There's a certain section of the fan base who look at the six games plus 50 minutes and are pretty impressed in how some of these Leafs carry themselves and surprised a lot of people. There's the other half of the city who will only look at that last 10 minutes and say, for the love of God, how can you say any of these guys are really your core if you have a collapse that big? Where do you stand on that?
I think when you have a collapse that big, that is going to be the issue. You're going to have people that are only going to focus on the negatives. And the negatives was, 5-10 guys that weren't able to hold the forts. I'm not saying this is James Reimer's fault, because he had a very good series. It was a big rebound that he let up on Lucic's first goal, the third goal of the game for the Bruins. But I think that's a tendency for fans, is to look at certain players and to harp on certain players, not so much for the last 10 minutes of the game, but for maybe for the season, for the series. They're going to harp on D'Antonis, and D'Antonis is going to be the GOAT because of the pinch he had in, I believe it was game four, game three, that allowed them to lose the game three. Obviously you see the media was all over them right after that game, so just in turn, the fans are going to be on them. Nazem Kadri had an okay series. He wasn't great. Lupo didn't have a great series. I really hope that fans in Toronto understand that Phil Kessel is a very good hockey player. He outplayed Tyler Seguin, who was invisible in the first round, and it's just been a Seguin Kessel. I think Toronto should be happy that they have a Phil Kessel that is growing and maturing into a good hockey player. However, they're young and they're inexperienced in terms of playoffs, and this is going to be a huge, huge learning experience to a lot of these guys moving forward in the career and how you play in the playoffs.
I agree with almost 100% of what you just said. The thing is here, and the media is making this a somewhat big deal right now, is that there are a lot of decisions that need to be made in the next calendar year. Nazem Kadri, restricted free agent, he made 1.7 last year. Phil Kessel has 1 year left in his deal. Phaneuf and Reimer all 1 year left in their deals. Do any of those jump? I mean, Phil Kessel, Alexander Semin just got $7 million a year, and you could argue that's the player that killed.
Alexander Semin's a dog.
I know.
Oh, we're not disagreeing with that. But he's a dog with $7 million a year contract.
Exactly. It screws up the whole system, because he will disappear faster than he will show up, 6 out of 7 days a week. So he screws up the whole system. I like Nazem Kadri. I think he's a good player. I think he's a $3 million player. I don't think he's more than that. He made 1.7. I think he had a breakout year where I wouldn't pay him more than $3.2 million bucks. He's starting to get really, really specific with numbers.
Right.
I would expect that they're going to let Dion play out his contract. I don't see them trying to hold on to him, especially with the media coming down on him and his performance. I don't see them trying to hold on to Dion.
That's a captain of the team,
I really think James Reimer is a good goaltender that really showed some flashes of brilliance and a little bit more time in the league. He's going to turn out to be a pretty damn good goaltender.
Jeremy, the Phaneuf thing is fascinating, though. I mean, he not only is he captain, he's your highest paid guy, and he's in the final year. And there are some in this city who believe he shouldn't be either. do you just let that deal run out? I mean, how many captains are allowed to just walk in this league and completely leave the team that they hype, in theory, are the leader of?
It's a tough situation. I'll preface this my point by saying I am a Dion Phaneuf fan, and anything that I say is not for personal or like reasons. I like him. But he seems to have too many holes in his game right now. I think he has the inability to lead the team in the proper way, at least it seems from the outside. I just don't think he's filled out to the player that everybody thinks he's going to be, because he'll have one good game and two or three bad games before he has two good games back to back. And as a captain, you can't do that. And as a defenseman, I think you're expected to do that more often, because I think being a defenseman, you can play better games more consistently than you can as an offensive player who's expected to score goals and put up points. As a defenseman, you're expected to make sure that you shut down the other team's top line. You chip in on the power play. Obviously, Nick Lidstrom is a perfect example of that. So I think Dion Phaneuf falls into a very difficult category. And I think this series that we just had, they just had, hurts his stock in terms of the leadership, the decision-making, and, you know, whether this team has the right leadership moving forward.
Jeremy Roenick joining us here on Tim and Sid. Before we let you go, we would be remiss without bringing up a little old-school Norris Division battle as the Red Wings and Blackhawks meet for the 16th time in the postseason. Is this a real rivalry south of the 49th?
You know, unfortunately, I'm kind of depressed because this is the last time we'll see Chicago-Detroit pre-Stanley Cup Finals because of the realignment change and Detroit moving to the east. So, that's a little depressing to me. But I think this is a great matchup. I think Detroit has so much history and is such a proud team. And a lot of the young guys are learning how to play playoff hockey faster than, you know, other young kids in the league. You see Bruner's playing really well. Nyquist is playing really well. Even Al Bocator is turning into, to more of an all-around player. Their defense is suspect. Howard has been very good. And they're going to need to be all on their game if they're going to beat Chicago Blackhawks, who I think is the fullest team from front to back in terms of their strength, their speed, their talent. It's going to be a great series all the way around, but I still think Chicago pulls this out.
Jeremy Roenick, NHLer, former NHLer, author, hockey analyst, NBC Sports Network, overall good guy. We appreciate the time. And one last comforting word, JR, to a lot of Leaf fans who are still completely floored by the events of this week. Leave them with something good.
Something good. Hey, listen, it was a good year. You got to the playoffs. You got the playoff taste again. You should have got further. But I think James Van Riemsdyk has found the home. Nazem Kadri is finding his groove. Phil Kessel, I think, is going to get better. There's a lot of positive things to be excited for with the Leafs. And I think a couple changes here and there, and with that same work ethic that they had this year, I really thought that they had a good system. The coach did a great job with them. They're going to be in the playoffs, I think, for a lot of years coming. So good stuff.
Dr. Roenick, thank you.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
There is Jeremy Roenick, NHL veteran, NBC Sports. Plenty of things. Two very interesting things that he said. One, Semin's a dog. Just agree with it, move on.
Oh, we're all in the same boat. We've had this discussion
but a guy who played in the league, just calling him flat out a dog.
Yeah, I haven't. You haven't. He has. Right. He agreed. Point made.
And that he would let Phaneuf walk after the year that is left on his contract. The captain walk after a year that is left in his contract. Now, that being said, you pointed out highest paid player on the team at $6.5 million per.
Brian Burke, whether publicly or privately, is admitting to taking credit for a lot of this, I would assume.
Mm-hmm. What, because he's Burke?
Yes. In these conversations, he better damn well admit he hung the Leafs with that albatross, which is your highest paid guy, who's also your captain and your fourth best defenseman.
Do you really think so?
Yeah.
Why would Randy Carlyle, for all his greatness, which you have,
Randy Carlyle.
Right. Why would he play him that much if he's his fourth best defenseman?
I don't know if you can play your captain fourth defenseman minutes.
Come on.
I don't think you can.
Yeah, you can in the playoffs.
No, I don't know if you can.
Hold on a second. This is Randy Carlyle, who healthy scratched guys, sent guys to the minors with $4.5 million. That's not the guy to accuse of not. He'll do anything he damn well pleases. He's proven that.
But I think there's like a few instances on this team.
Jake Gardner, the future? Hell, screw
him. Where you got to play him.
Healthy scratch then leads the team in ice time in two straight games.
I hear your point. But Randy's not going to approach Dion that way. Not as long as he's the coach.
We were here, me and you. We were together.
We were together for most of the show. Yeah,
We
have just split.
Yeah.
But I guess my only question to you, you know what? I'll hold it.
Because there were guys on that Bruins team that struggled mightily.
Oh, yeah.
And Dion had a hand in some of that.
Dion's not making $6 million with his team in his next deal. That cap is going down.
I'll agree with you on that.
And he's not going to be the captain. So you're going to humiliate him and keep him and give him a pay cut and he's going to stay? Like, how is this going to play out? I just don't see it playing out that way.
Yeah, we got to go.
We got to go, sir.
I'm sorry. The only way you get around that is long-term extension, lower cap number. Longer term, lower cap number.
If I'm $6 million
captain. Humiliate him.
I'm just saying, if I'm a $6 million captain of the Leafs, my ego may have a problem with that.
Yeah, no, it might. But I agree with you on that. He needs to take a little bit of a...
There's going to be a haircut there needed. If he's going to be with this team.
And I know all about haircuts. Howard Beck, Ivanka Osmak, Mark Burley, still to come. Tim and Sid, Sports 10, 590 The Fan, and the Score.
Prices like no other. From a club like no other. The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. Now more of Tim and Sid on The Score and Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan, The Score Television Network. I don't know what this is, but I like it.
Beat Rock Seattle Smooth.
I like this a lot. Portuguese mother at the age of 14?
No, that's T to the R-O-Y. See, this is how I save you. You know, you make fun of my knowledge of music.
Because you just know Buju Banton.
No, and yet...
That's all you know.
And yet, I can prepare a list that puts you right in and around your wheelhouse. But you can't do the same for me.
How could
you not know that this is Straighten It Out?
I don't know.
And not...
I don't know. See, at least I'm honest.
Troy,
T-R-O-Y. But this is where you're lucky. Some people would sit here and try and BS their way through that situation. I'll be completely honest with you. I like the track.
Walk a fine chalk line and put the needle to the grind. Representing one kind, see an eye for the blind. Witness what I carry on, theirs are for the purpose. From how we do, slam a few. Then you want to purchase. A dialogue of funk, you love to pop it in your trunk. I got more discipline than a Shaolin monk.
Keep going.
Pete Rock and CL well set to spark it. The powerful
throw it up though. That's
something,
good.
Something new.
That's good. That is strong.
The New York Knicks need to straighten it out.
Drop the needle. I wanted to come in with something.
The New York Knicks need to straighten it out, Sixero, because they have the talent. There is the talent there. Now, can it just get out of its own way? Because I'm not sure you can win with the way these dudes are carrying themselves.
Can we email the NBA and ask for drama? Because I don't think we've seen it yet. It's been like 3 weeks
Warriors,
this postseason.
Warriors
are about to lose
the most
series.
Dramatic team thus far.
They're about to lose that series.
Even the Grizzle for Chisel taking care of the Thunder.
And we know why, but that's what I mean. Like, teams are winning, and we know why.
Well, no, there's drama surrounding the Knicks. When J.R. Smith...
Okay, maybe not competitive drama with Indiana.
Right.
But internal drama.
Right. When J.R. Smith shows up to Steak and Shake when he's supposed to be sick, and then goes out and does what he's done in this series, which is shoot 28%, there's drama in my mind.
I still think the Steak and Shake thing is completely understandable, and people need to back off. Howard Beck, New York Times, joining us. Howard, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Very good, very good.
Let me ask the first question. I'm going to be blunt.
This better involve Steak and Shake.
No, this is blunt.
Okay.
Can the New York Knicks win with Carmelo Anthony and J.R. Smith as their leaders?
Can they win with Carmelo Anthony and J.R. Smith doing what?
As their leaders.
Oh, as their leaders?
Yeah.
That's a pretty big question. I mean, they got to the second round. They won 54 games. This might be as far as they can go. I mean, that would be their track record in Denver. They never got out of the first round except once, got to the conference finals once. It was supposed to be different here because we're supposed to be seeing a newer, better, more evolved JR and a more evolved Carmelo Anthony and some better pieces around them. And they were a higher seed this time with home court advantage, which they didn't usually have in Denver. So, yeah, this was supposed to be different. And right now, of course, it's not. And to answer your question, no, I don't think, and it's not an indictment of either of them individually. It's that, you know, in today's NBA, you usually need, you know, two stars. Carmelo's an established star, warts and all. J.R. Smith is, you know, a curiosity still. He can be sixth man of the year, but he's still not established as anything other than a guy who's a great scorer at times, really talented, but takes a lot of shots, takes a lot of bad shots, and isn't very disciplined on the court, despite a couple of weeks where it looked like he was doing better back in March or April. So, this may be their ceiling. And, you know, let's face it, they won 54 games and finished second in the Eastern Conference. The Eastern Conference is not very good outside of Miami, you know, and you know, all respect to the Pacers because they're doing a fantastic job in this series, but you know, I don't think anybody thinks the Pacers are championship contenders.
Right.
So, the Knicks still have some internal structural issues.
Well, speaking of said internal structural issues, Howard, obviously the Tyson Chandler Melo tete-a-tete has made a lot of headlines since the previous game. You're in the scrums, you're in the rooms, you have a better temperature on this, or you can gauge the temperature better than I. Is that overblown, or is that team just not happy with each other?
It's a little overblown. I mean, first of all, Tyson Chandler never used the word selfish, which got thrown around a lot in the wake of his comments. I think it's kind of what he was implying, but he certainly never said it in those terms. And you know, he obviously also did not name anybody. Some people thought it was about Carmelo. I personally thought he was talking about Carmelo and JR and potentially others. But his point was about ball movement and about, following a game plan, not trying to win the game by yourself. Now, that's usually, there's only two guys in this team who can kind of try to take over a game, and that's JR and Carmelo. So it's fair to think that it was mostly about those two. But, you know, to say that this was somehow a rift or anything, I think it's kind of silly. I mean, the same message had been coming from Mike Woodson in general terms about ball movement and about, everybody trusting each other out there. So it's not like he was the only one sending that message. And frankly, it's a message this team needs to hear because, you know, this is the problem that they've got right now. They were a fantastic offensive team during the season because they were getting contributions from everyone. They weren't a one- or two-man show. And, you know, we get to the playoffs, they get a little bit of duress and some defensive pressure, and all of a sudden they're reverting to, you know, the solo act kind of approach, and that's not working.
I had read some rumors that in an attempt to keep J.R. Smith, they may be willing to sign his brother Chris and make him 12th man or whatever you want to make him on this team. Is that really in the cards for this team, or is that even a step too far for the Knicks?
Well, they did sign Chris Smith. They signed him, last fall, and he got hurt, and he's still
in preseason.
Around.
Yeah,
he's around this team every day. So you know how you want to interpret that. Who knows? I mean, if J.R. Smith opts out as people expect him to, and if there's still a market for him after the performance he's had in the playoffs, and he gets a great offer elsewhere that goes beyond what the Knicks can pay under cap rules, I think he'll go. I don't, you know, whether they sign his brother or not is going to be immaterial. You sign the biggest contract you can get, especially when you've never gotten a major contract in your career because you've always come with some warning signs. So if a team with cap room wants to give J.R. Smith $6 or $7 million a year, I think he's gone.
Howard, in terms of the team that the Knicks right now are attempting to deal with, Indiana, and the team we all assume will then have to deal with Miami in the Eastern Conference Final, how much better this year are they compared to a year ago? Has Paul George made a big difference? And is it enough of a difference to say we're going to have a competitive Eastern Final?
Well, Paul George has, you know, his when you're that young, when you're, you come in your early 20s, every year of growth can be huge. Paul George's growth from a year ago is huge. And this team has also had another season together, and they've already been through that playoff series against Miami. So, you know, all those, the experience that you get in the postseason is huge for a young team, and that's still a pretty young team. So I do think the Pacers are better equipped now than they were a year ago to go up against the Heat. And Paul George's individual defense, I mean, he's become one of the best one-on-one defenders in the league, and we're seeing that against Carmelo Anthony. He's not giving him an inch to breathe or shoot. But LeBron James is a much different task. They can afford to cover Carmelo one-on-one with Paul George. I don't think anybody's going to guard LeBron one-on-one. And besides that, LeBron is really good at giving up the ball and finding an open teammate, something that Carmelo Anthony lacks. So, the things that are making the Pacers successful against the Knicks won't necessarily be the same against the Heat. Of course, big question mark will be, you know, what the state of Dwayne Wade is at that right. point, because obviously he's hurting a little bit right now. But if the Heat are at full strength, you know, Miami's still heavily favored.
Always great information. Always a great chat. Thanks for joining us, Howard.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
There is Howard Beck of the New York Times. If you work for the New York Times, your IQ immediately higher than both Sid's and mine.
If I read the New York Times once a month, works for me as well.
Here's the deal. We've gone back and forth on the Knicks, and I am finally comfortable in saying this, Sid. They'll never win with those two as their leaders. I'm leafing through NBA champions as we speak, and I'm trying to find a team with flaky, lack of commitment type leaders, and I can't find them. Like, I can't, like, every one of them has strong work ethic leaders, unless you say Dwayne Wade and Shaquille O'Neal. Those are the only two that I can find in the mix. LeBron James is a workaholic. He has improved himself each and every year. Go to the Dallas Mavericks. Dirk Nowitzki made his game a lot better, and that's why he took the next step and had a lot of guys surrounding him that had strong characters. Lakers, Celtics, Spurs, Pistons, Spurs, Lakers. And then you go back to Jordan's Bulls.
See, the Knicks have a big problem. Problem is, their guy who should be a great number two is a scoring champion. So he right. will never view himself as a number two.
And won a national championship yep. at Syracuse. So feels like he
so
is
feels
a leader.
Like he's a number one.
Right.
When there is nothing on his NBA professional resume that would really back that up playoff-wise. But he still is a scoring champion.
Right.
So that's the yin and the yang with this, and I don't see their outs. They will have to lean on him.
Right.
To what extent, you can argue. Depends on what guys you bring in. It's going to come back to him, and it's problematic because he's not the
guy.
Stats tell you he's the guy. If you have eyes, you know better.
Here, I'll even give you stats. Him and J.R. Smith combined to score 43 points yesterday. It's not bad. They needed 45 shots to get there, and Melo was pointless in the fourth quarter. In fact, he doesn't have a field goal in the fourth quarter of each of the last two games. And to make matters worse for Lala's husband, the Indiana Pacers had LeBron James in the exact same spot last year, down 2-1. All LBJ did was go for 40 points, 18 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and the jam was done after 4 games because he just stole their heart. What did Carmelo do? Pooped his pants in the fourth quarter.
He did. He pooped his pants.
So even the stats sometimes tell you something.
Yeah, Melo's not a number one.
Melo needs a lot of help, and J.R. Smith ain't it.
He needs the help and will refuse it out of ego.
Right.
And he's a scoring champ.
Yeah, remember Allen Iverson? How'd that go?
Well, he's broke. we know how it went for his wallet, too.
That's true.
All right. Do you want to have a pitching session with Mark Burley? Do you want to be in the booth with Jerry Howarth? Do you want a free Tim and Sid lower back tattoo? The Jays are having an auction tonight on Sportsnet.
Is that what we're offering up?
The last one we'll talk about in the break. I should have brought that up earlier.
All right.
Ivanka Osmak is here in studio. I don't know what's going to happen. Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, The Score, Television Network.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more of Tim and Sid on The Score and Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Gonna get myself, gonna get myself, gonna get myself connected. I ain't gonna go blind, but the light will just reflect it. See through you, see through you, I see through you, I see through you. You dirty tricks, you make me sick. See through you.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Score Television Network. Tim McAuliffe, Sid Sixero. Big night, not just baseball on Sportsnet, as the Jays try and sweep that epic two-game series from the San Francisco Giants. It is the Sportsnet charity broadcast auction, or as they say in French, auction, in support of Jays Care Foundation.
I don't think they do, but yep, I'll go with it.
The on-air personality, you can see her nightly. Carrying Ken Reed on her back like a backpack at Lollapalooza.
Yeah. How much does he weigh?
Every
Jesus
night.
Jesus Murphy. Finally, I get to get away from him from a night.
Ivanka Osmak will be hosting said auction, and Ivanka Osmak joins us in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
First question, why are you awesome?
Well, listen, I decided...
She's going to answer it.
she is going to answer it very well, too, because I know how she's going to answer it.
Last time I was here, Tim wasn't here. But I came in with some cookies, right?
Oh, yes,
and
yes,
I got
yes.
a little razz. But today I figured I had to, you know, continue the tradition of bringing something. And so my brother was gracious enough to drop off some Pizza Hut food, some pizza, some Dunkers, and your favorite, Sixero, some wings. And I will be a true friend, and I will tell you, if you have barbecue sauce on your mouth, I will not let you go the whole show with some sauce on the corners. There you go.
This is Frank.
How about that?
No, just I brought in.
We don't need a hug. It's okay. We don't hug. We don't hug. It's okay.
She's got it. It's like high school. It's like high school all over again. Hey, Sixero.
Go nuts.
Yeah. Hold on. We have a show to do
Pizza
here.
Pizza Hut.
First question is mine. What was the first question? Why are you so awesome?
Well, that second question's
right. And how do you carry Ken Reed? So, honestly, this must be fun to do this charity broadcast. Awesome.
It's fantastic. Yeah, it's been going on since 2008, and I've been
I can't do this seriously. Hold on.
Sarah just literally devouring the wings.
Picked up the wings and is starting into the wing.
Okay, so listen.
Just spreading the love around.
What about the Leafs?
Yeah.
What's going on, Ivanka, with the
Leafs? We
don't
have to talk about the Leafs, do we?
No, we don't.
Let's get to the Jays. Now, I heard you guys talking earlier about some of the items that are up tonight that people can bid on. And you were talking about one of the packages where Jerry Howarth gets to leave your voicemail. But did you notice that there's the all access where it's either Jamie Campbell or Zonny can leave your voicemail?
Oh, really?
How would you like Zonny to be leaving
I don't know if I want
voicemail?
That. Yeah, I don't know if that's a good thing.
Hey, Sid's not here. He's out not talking to girls. Leave a message. I used to play ball. Beep. That's Zonny's message.
I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, every year I, you know, scan what the items are because they just get better and better. Like, I love the trips. You can go to San Francisco this year. Flight out there. I've never been to AT&T Park. So I think it looks like an awesome ballpark right on the water.
Yeah, that's a bucket list for me.
Right?
AT&T Park, yeah, definitely.
There's two games. One's a night, one's a day. So, you know, maybe during the day of one, you go to Napa Valley and wine region.
I was thinking that. That's how I normally roll.
That's how he rolls.
Yeah.
and then a day game. There's also, and I know this appeals to Ken Reed, there's a 30-minute hitting lesson with Colby Rasmus, talking about the boys around here, right?
Right.
Talking about girls, talking about beer, chew tobacco, spit.
If it's not Pete Rock, he's not aware.
Yeah, I know, though. It's Blake Shelton, isn't it?
Yeah, there you go.
I have to put up with Ken Reed singing that song like every half an hour.
He does use it a lot.
Yeah,
he does use it.
The boys around here.
Ivanka Osmak in studio, Tim and Sid, Sportsnet
590. How can you even talk, Sixero? You're going to Vegas tomorrow. You've got pizza and wings in front of you. Like, what do you...
Holiday has started.
Sitting in my Humber College class many years ago, dreamt of a moment similar to this.
This is what you do. A lovely young lady brings you pizza before you go to Vegas.
Well, listen, what goes around comes around. How much pizza did I buy young ladies when I was in high school? A lot of good it did me.
You got the Heisman.
What goes
too.
Around comes around.
Did you ever try the sausage stuffed crust from Pizza Hut?
Go on.
It was in a couple months ago, and I didn't work up the courage to do it, but my...
It's a long show between now and 4:20. Actually, we're going to be on with Bob, too. Maybe Bob gets some pizza.
What's your brother's name so we can thank him?
Oh, yeah, Nicholas.
Nicholas.
Yeah,
thank you, Nicholas. Nicholas Pickles Osmack.
To Nick for bringing it in. He wanted to meet you guys, but next time, maybe. He'll bring in something else.
I don't think that's true. Yeah, I think he looked in and he's like, the guy with the sunglasses isn't here. I'm getting out of here.
Who's the dude in the salmon shirt? Because I need to get out of here.
I look all right, right?
You look good, but I was going to wear the same color blazer. That's what I told you. So I'm glad, because that would have been really awkward. It's happened before. Right? Do you have the cuffs?
No, I don't. No cuff, please. No diamond eye cuffs.
You got to win some in Vegas.
I do. I'm the worst gambler you've ever seen.
Are you a Vegas girl?
Love Vegas. I haven't been for a few years, but I love Vegas. I think it should be a must-do annual trip to Vegas.
Are you a gambler?
Not at all. I don't gamble. I like to sit by the pool, do a little shopping, go to restaurants, go to some shows, Cirque du Soleil.
I've been banned from the pools at Caesars. Too much hair.
They ask you to shave before you jump in.
A guy in an actual Roman Caesar outfit. No.
No.
Over there.
They send you to a different
get pool. Out.
But it's so much fun. You can do everything, right? I don't know if I'd bring kids, but it's like you can do everything in Vegas. You don't have to gamble.
You're not a gambler either.
No.
And you love Vegas.
I hit on 22. I don't know the rules. I'm the worst gambler you've ever seen.
This
so
is
I just
mystifying
stay
to me because I'm a gambler.
The only thing I gamble on in Vegas is my liver.
Okay.
I'm two trips away from losing that too.
I understand that.
Ivanka Osmack in studio, probably asking yourself why, here on Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and The Score Television Network. Again, the Sportsnet charity broadcast auction in support of Jay's Care Foundation is tonight on Sportsnet. Things get going as I try to push through, Mikhail giggling. Things start a little after 6:30, Ivanka, hosting?
Yes, we're going to be doing, telling you what's on the auction, some items available during Blue Jays Connected, and then it all gets going at 6:30, and it ends 10 minutes after the last out in the seventh inning. And that's where it's always like a gong show, because people are just calling in trying to get in their last bid. So you can't wait till the last minute necessarily, but you want to time it perfectly, right? Because you got to get through. It's real tricky.
This is all in support, obviously, for the Jays Care Foundation, which is awesome stuff. But so all of it happens today. It starts and finishes today.
It's all tonight. So you can bid on there are 10 big items, like the hit with Colby or the pitch with Mark Burley, who I understand you have coming up next. You know, a couple trips, the broadcast package. There's one where you can be part of the grounds crew. So you can go out in the fifth inning.
Or you can run out?
You can run out.
That's awesome.
You couldn't keep up with
them. I would just be so afraid I'd trip. I'd fall on my face and just eat turf.
I would just collapse in left field, on the run out. On the run out, I'm just like...
I'm good.
I'm Peter Griffin after hitting his knee.
Because they're supposed to be the fastest grounds crew, right?
Right.
Is a fact, or is this now just a thing? The world's fastest ground.
Well, that Home Hardware outfit makes them look really fast, though.
And you get to keep the outfit.
Oh, do you really?
Yes. See, there's lots of good things. But if you don't have, that much money to donate or to buy something, you can always buy, there's these fan packs, and it's $100 and it goes towards Jay's Care, and it, has a bobblehead and some memorabilia from the Jays. And so there's everything for every price range.
Hopefully it's not the Bruce Bochy bobblehead, which tips over every time you start it.
Did you see him in the dugout last night? He's top five manager for me.
Why is that?
Bruce Bochy. He just looks like a... You can just see him just...
I'm not the only one that notices this.
He doesn't have oxygen. He has gravel in his lungs. Yeah. He's not from this earth.
If there was one of... If you were to bid on one of these things, what would it be?
Well, you know what? I always like the trips. And there's one item. So there's the San Francisco trip and there's the New York trip. But then there's the trip where you can go anywhere that the Blue Jays play. And this is a pretty good year because of all the interleague. So, I mean, I'm based in Toronto, so going to Arizona or San Diego or San Fran,
that'd be nice.
That appeals to me.
Okay, yeah. So
I think I'd bid for that one if I had the series moving.
Yeah, this is not golf in Arizona.
Well, that'd be nice.
Right?
That'd be nice.
It's a nice dry heat.
All right, so in your humble opinion, because you have done this before.
Right.
What's fetching the most tonight? What will be the highest bid placed and for what?
Well, going on years past, I'm pretty sure it's the one-on-one with the player. Like, it was the first year we did this back in 08, it was awesome, actually, because Roy Halladay, it was half an hour with Roy Halladay, was up for bid, and Roy's wife, Brandy, was working the phones that night. And so it came down, you know, to the end of the night, and we had one guy on the phone, he was placing a bid, and there was one guy at the park, and he was, you know, they were going back and forth, and kept going higher and higher, and inching by $100 or whatever. And then Brandy was like, he'll do two lessons. And so she pretty much just auctioned off her husband to do two, but it was double the money for the Jay's Care Foundation. So it was pretty cool of her, and it was really nice of Roy because he agreed to it, even though he didn't know what was going on at the time.
So everyone's in the spirit is what you're saying.
Everyone gets into it. It's just it all goes to a good cause, but it's a lot of fun. So usually it's the one-on-one with the players.
So here's what it is this year. It's a hitting lesson with Colby Rasmus, private 30-minute hitting lesson for two different people with Colby Rasmus, batting practice visit for two, two field-level tickets for the game of your choice, jerseys for two, professional photographer included to capture the experience so you can post it on Facebook after and get a new bag of new gear courtesy of Rawlings.
Right.
That sounds like
that's
a pretty
awesome.
Game.
That's pretty good.
Ivanka. And what's the starting at?
Yeah, what at 2000. It starts at 2000.
That's not bad. Come on, it's unique. Once in a lifetime.
Oh yeah,
boys around here.
And that's like your Facebook profile for years.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
That's your Twitter pic. For
years.
Oh,
that's it. Done completely. Yeah.
You and Colby,
Ivanka. Before you go,
yes.
Because the hope is, Tim and I have our package, our prize package.
Yeah.
In the in next year's. Oh, come on, guys.
Where are you going with this?
Really, I'm the immature one?
Yep.
Johnny Pizza Hut?
Yep.
The boys around here in his mouth. Look at that.
Oh, my God. That's garlic bread pizza.
What is it?
Are you serious?
I thought it was regular pizza. It's garlic bread pizza?
That's incredible.
All right, we'll talk about that in a second.
Who came up with this?
That sounds like a dream.
Geniuses!
Awesome.
What would the Tim and Sid prize pack include in next year's charity broadcast auction? Because you know it's coming. You know what's happening.
Okay, so you got...
I take one for a haircut for sure.
So you have to say that...
Dion?
They do a segment with you guys, right? They get a couple horns. They get a panic button, maybe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do they get to wear your leather jacket?
We can arrange
perhaps?
It.
Perhaps?
We can arrange it.
Okay.
I like this.
We're going to arrange
How
it.
How about we just give them the leather jacket?
Or we could give them the leather... Because right. I'm not wearing it again.
Sorry, the pleather jacket.
You have to wear
it's
it
leather.
Again. You're famous because of that.
Chicken wings?
Create a match game?
Create their own match game.
And what else should they do?
You know what? I think you're on
to
something.
No, I think
there has
stuff,
to be a package for Tim and Sid.
I think there's some good stuff.
I think we could, honestly, donate a segment or two or maybe an hour to this next year.
How about this? I got it. I'll donate 3 hours. Uh-huh. They sit here.
Yeah.
And you
won't come in.
And in the name of charity,
right?
I'll golf that day.
So kind. So generous of you.
For charity. Because we're all in this together. So this sounds like a blast tonight, Ivanka.
Maybe that softball idea we had. Remember playing softball with a bunch of Timmins citizens?
Charity softball game or cricket game. I still think the cricket game is going to happen.
I don't know if that ties in with the Jays.
Okay, but we can do that another time.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Thank you. Thanks for having me in.
And congrats on having you do the show with Reader tonight, because I know you are the real winner of this.
This is twice this week because I got off Monday as well. I had to.
Oh yeah, you guys were watching the Leaf game at Rogers Center.
I know they had it on the big screens. Yeah. So twice this week I'm without Reader, so it's a nice break. You know.
I thought
you understand. Right?
I thought
it's a nice break.
We all need some solo time.
Can you give her some horns quietly, like the quiet horns?
I've been practicing.
And the other thing is, I thought before you came in that you were way better than Reader. This has just confirmed that you are awesomely better than
Reader. Thank you,
Garlic
Lance Kennedy.
Bread pizza.
True story. I see her downstairs yesterday. First thing she says, "Hey, Sid." Second thing she says, she did like a cross between the Langer horns and the regular horns. Ivanka, thank you.
Thank you very much.
For everything.
Enjoy
for everything.
Food. And Vegas.
And I'll have a good time. Thank you very much. More Tim and Sid coming up. Sportsnet 590, the Fan, the Score, Television Network.